Quick program note, we were expecting to talk to marine biologist Terry Lilly about the coral reef on Kauai. We're going to bring him back on a later show. We had some issues with the phone line. But on to Maui, and Hawaii's Portuguese population began its large-scale immigration to our islands in much the same way the first settlers came to the U.S. mainland, leaving behind a world that could not support them, looking for new opportunities. In their second century here, Hawaii's Portuguese continued to keep their traditions alive through such organizations as the Maui Portuguese Cultural Club, which is holding a festa next Saturday. Laura Peressa is a longtime member of the club. She's on the line to tell us more. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Bon dia.
A lot of you in the club have family memories, right?
Yes.
What are some of yours?
Some of mine are being with my grandmother and learning how to cook traditional Portuguese foods. I've been to festas and saw the chamarita, which is a Portuguese traditional dance.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to bake what's called a folar de Pascua, which is the Easter bread, the sweet bread,
uh-huh,
as we know it in Hawaii. But there would be an egg in the middle and a cross over the egg to hold it in place, and we'd have that every year.
Wow. What a lovely tradition.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the others that you remember?
Well, we would make what's called a lapinha. A lapinha is seven layers, shelves, a display, if you will, of all the saints and people in the world who have done good for the church and for God. And seven is representing the 7 days of creation, where the top layer would have God. In the beginning was the Word, so God would be up there. And then he made the stars the next day and the heavens, and each layer represents something. And then we also put out wheatgrass, little bowls of wheatgrass, to symbolize Christ in the form of bread. So all of our customs are pretty much tied to the church. So the lapinha is one of them. I remember learning so many superstitions, that you can't put the broom a certain way because you'll be inviting witches to come.
Really?
The feiticeiras, yeah. And about cubrants, which are, spells that can be cast, and basically how to protect yourself from envy, which is the biggest and meanest of all of the things that people can put on you, or a cubrant, where they are envious of you and they take away some of your spirit because of their envy. So we have multiple ways in which to protect ourselves from this. And I'm learning a lot more of them as time goes on.
Well, this is great stuff, Laura. Your voice is trailing off a little bit, so you need to just address the handset just a little bit, get in close to it, because I'm losing the tail end of some of your sentences.
Okay.
But these are some lovely traditions through the family, and not all of them, as you say, there's some superstitions. What was that word for witches that you used?
Feiticeira. Feiticeira.
And how are they described?
Well, my grandmother always used to tell me that the feiticeira is the first one in the church and the last one to leave. So you'd know
who
they were by that description. So I remember going to church and trying to see who was there before me to see who they were.
Some of these traditions remind me, in some European country, the evil eye, does that come up in Portuguese culture?
Yes, exactly. And there's a way to protect yourself from the evil eye. So if anyone praises you immensely and has evil in their heart and they're giving you that evil eye, you're supposed to put your thumb underneath your index finger,
mm-hmm,
and that's supposed to protect you from the evil eye.
Oh, I thought it was a little bit different, the index finger and little finger extended. It's thumb and index finger.
That's shaka.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. When I first saw Shaka, I was reminded of seeing, because I've seen the evil eye gesture in New York neighborhoods.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
But you ward it off, and sometimes praise can contain evil in that tradition.
Oh, yes, yeah? Because it's not clean coming from them. It's based on envy, and they don't want good things to happen to you.
So if you've had a great success and someone praises you with a degree of insincerity, that might merit warding that off, huh?
Yes, yes. And you can put your thumb, cover your thumb with your index finger in an indiscreet way, and you'll still be protected from it.
Do you see old folks in the culture sort of unconsciously do that? I mean, is that pretty ingrained?
Yeah, yes. We do see that. Most of the time, they're not, you know, outward with it, but they do talk about it a lot. And being in the Maui Portuguese Cultural Club, I'm around the older population, and they tell stories about fatseres and spells and all that kind of things. And I'm learning a lot through them because of what they're saying.
And I would think that some of these traditions, particularly the witches and the spells, that sounds very sort of 15th century European, you know. It goes back quite a ways, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. The Portuguese have a tradition where they will put a little group of rosemary or rue, a ruda, as they call it in Portugal, and wheat and poppies and olive branches and daisies, and they make this bundle and they put it on the door. And the rosemary is supposed to ward off evil, as well as the rue is supposed to ward off evil. The wheat symbolizes abundance, the poppies good health, the olive branches peace, and the daisies financial security. And all of this is put on your front door so that there's two things. It wards off evil and it welcomes prosperity.
And these are very, they strike me, Laura, as very sort of pagan in an ancient kind of way. Celebrations of the harvest, warding off evil, promoting the, you know, a prosperous harvest. That goes really deep, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it evolved even into the church. So even though Catholicism came along and changed many of the pagan ways, these traditions were superimposed into the Catholic Church and the festivals and feasts and traditions of the Church. And it sort of went along with it, the abundance, the peace, the good health, you know, all of that was factored in when the Church came. And so the Church did with the Hawaiian people when they came to Hawaii. You know, the Hawaiian people love to garden, and the first priests here love to garden, and through this gardening they started a relationship. There are many traditions in Hawaiian culture that are part of the teachings of the church about love and family, and you know, so it was an easy progression into the Catholic faith here in Hawaii.
Well, Laura, it says a lot about the way populations that have, you know, traveled far from home, how those populations adapt, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. When the people came from the Azores and Madeira, which is the places that most of the ancestors of the Portuguese here in Hawaii today came from, they thought that the ship's captain had turned around and taken them back to the Azores and Madeira because they're island people. And, you know, they brought them to an island, and from the distance, you know, it looked just like the island that they left.
Thought he got totally mixed up. Laura, thanks so much for talking with us. It's really, those are great stories. Appreciate
well, you're
it.
Welcome.
Laura Peressa is a longtime member of the Maui Portuguese Cultural Club, which will be holding a Portuguese festa, our cultural festival, on Saturday, May 10th at the Kepanivai Park Portuguese Heritage Garden in Iao Valley. The festival will begin at 10 a.m. with a Coronation of Mary ceremony in remembrance of her appearance to three children in Fatima, Portugal in 1917. Children and adults will then dance the chamarrita, the cultural dance of Portugal, and details are at hpr2.org.
Esta nova chamarrita, esta chamarrita nova.